Those who can do, those who cannot do it on the internet. FancyPantsGangsters.com. Welcome to the Well-Fed Guide to Life, brought to you by HopChart.com. That's right, I'm Evan, and I'm doing the opening this week. Why? Because Dave is not here. We're actually starting a three-week period of no Dave, as he is on vacation, out in Florida, I think, somewhere. I don't know. He's probably eye-humping Tyler Florence right now. So we've got three weeks of special guests, and this week... we've got a man that, for some reason, hasn't been on this show yet.
No,
I don't think you have.
No, I haven't.
I've been just on about every other show.
Yeah, couple of defunct ones. Actually, all defunct ones. I don't know if you want me on this one.
Well, you're good for, because you have so little going on that you're good to call up in a moment's notice.
This is very true.
So, Adam Mell, formerly of Out of Step, but he's guested all over the place and. He was nice enough to come on extremely short notice, and we're giving him a special prize because I don't want to make this a habit, but where you suggested to us Northbound.
Yes.
And that was our last show. So maybe the rule should be if you suggest us a place that we like, you then are the special guest the following week.
Yeah, well, that's good. I'm glad you went, too, because you actually ate there before I had eaten.
That's right,
because
you had just had the beer.
Right, and based on your recommendation, I went there. So I was very, very pleased with the results.
What did you... Let's talk about that real quick before we talk about where we are right now. Where have you... What did you end up having?
So I've been there a couple times now because it's down the street from my house.
And it's literally been 2 weeks since the show, so you've been there several times in 2 weeks.
Probably three times.
Wow.
So I went and had the porchetta sandwich based on your recommendation, the onion rings, which are amazing because of the waffle batter, and then the chicken sandwich, which is battered in the waffle batter, is out of control.
Really?
And then what else have I had? Oh, I had the smoked beef, also excellent. And then two versions of the fries, both garlic style and Cajun style.
And I know you didn't listen to the show because you're a bit behind, and that's acceptable. It's fine. We didn't know at the time that you could get flavored fries. We just thought they were just suggested, just like, yeah, let's get some fries. And I was a little underwhelmed by the flavor of it, not knowing that you can get garlic or whatever. So I'm looking forward to go back to try the garlic. Between the two, which would you pick?
Oh, again, as we talked about, we'll talk about a bit about ordering here where we're at now at the undisclosed locale. That's another Sophie's choice for me. Choosing between garlic seasoning or Cajun seasoning could not be a more difficult choice for me. I'd say it's more dependent on mood and whether or not my wife has any intention of being within the same room of me.
Very good.
Cajun if yes, garlic if no.
You know, people have made dumber choices, so yeah. That's how it works. Where are we now?
We are at Chris and Rob's, another place.
That's not like a buddy of ours.
No, it's a pretty solid, in my book, Chicago-style eatery, which I'm always a huge fan of, and generally, whenever I move to a new neighborhood, I kind of try to stake out a location like this, although I would say of the Twin Cities area, there's a couple of Chris and Rob's. There's one here where we're at 42nd Street and 31st in South Minneapolis. There's one over on West 7th, too, but I think... They do the Chicago-style stuff the most authentic and the best of any of the other places I've been.
Nice. And there's one in St. Paul.
Yep. And I think there might be a third one or something,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember. It's out in the suburbs, if the memory serves.
Yeah, I think you're right.
But, I don't have that ahead of me. But this is... Do you know if this is the original location, or... Do we know anything about this place?
I know very little that I come here. But I do know part of the other thing that you know it's good is that my in-laws... enjoy it, and they are from Chicago, and sorry Chicagoans, but I'm about to insult you, because boy oh boy, if I ever have to hear about the only good pizza is Chicago style pizza, no one can do a Chicago dog in Minneapolis, blah blah blah, oh boy, but this place pleases them, so it's good. It gets the seal of approval.
You know, that's, you know, one thing we've talked about several times on the show. Anytime we go to like an ethnic cuisine, like, you know, Mexican or Chinese or anything like that, the better endorsement is always where the natives go.
Oh yeah, it's like you don't go to a Chinese restaurant that has like a bunch of white people.
Yeah.
Or an Asian restaurant in general.
Yeah.
That's how I started trying out Hong Kong noodle on the U of M campus when I was a little pup there. I was like, well.
Wow, Hong Kong noodle. I haven't heard of that place. I haven't even thought of that place.
Like, I don't see a lot of college students in there. That must mean it's really good.
Or just very expensive.
Right.
Which Hong Kong noodle, I don't think. I was going to say. It's hard to do an expensive noodle place.
A couple places without naming names seem to be.
We can name names, that's fine.
No, actually. Yo. Oh. Thank you.
Wow. All right. I'm going to have to take my coat off for this.
Yeah, that's
we are outside.
Yeah,
which is rare.
One of the last times here. Those raviolis look insane.
They do. We'll talk about that in a second here. What were we talking about? Oh, you're going to bust out some overly expensive noodle
places.
Yeah,
I feel like I'm... There's like me, my wife, and like one other couple we know who are the only people who seem to think this, but I really think that like Senyai Senlek is overrated. That restaurant up in Northeast. Mm-hmm. I think that it's way too expensive for what you get. The food's good, but I just can't get behind an Asian restaurant that doesn't have enough for leftovers. It's crazy. And I think that there's other places that aren't that far away that are equally as good.
You know, I think that's fair, honestly. You know, I've been to Senyai Senlek a couple times. We've talked about on the show where my in-laws, specifically my brother-in-law and his girlfriend, are vegetarian. Mm. Which, when family's over, that severely limits the places we can go. Like, we're never going to do Northbound.
Right.
Which is a damn shame.
They got the portobello sandwich. That's it.
That's it, yeah.
And French fries.
So we end up going to a lot of Asian places, and that's fine. I mean, I've got no problem with it, but Senyai Senlek is one of those where every time I've gone there, I've always been kind of like, I've never been like, this is what I want.
See, and that's exactly it. Like, I went and tried it. I've gotten some gift certificates, and I'm never like, oh, God, I'm dreading to go there. It's fine, and the food's pretty good, but I've never... There's a lot of places I feel that are... places I'm totally fine eating, but I would never go there on purpose.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
But so that's the one that came to mind, but oh well.
But food has arrived.
Yes.
I win for the sheer gluttony, I think, this time.
Mm-hmm.
But what did you get here?
Oh well, I got the classic Chicago dog, which is the ways that it's often screwed up, and I would agree with this in many places, is number one, not using a Vienna beef hot dog. If you don't use a Vienna beef hot dog, it is not a Chicago dog. Two, some places don't use the bright green relish. Gotta have the bright green relish, and you gotta have the celery salt. Those are the three things that generally people miss, of one of the three.
Now, far be it for me to disparage on another person's culture. Does celery salt really make that big of a difference?
Yes.
Really?
Oh, man. A Bloody Mary without celery salt is unforgivable. It's just really? Like this is. Yeah, it's so good.
See, I always think of celery salt as being extremely mild, and you just can't...
No, it's good.
Don't notice it.
Yeah, but it's the little nuances, man, when that's what makes it. But no, I think it makes a huge difference, and... I mean, you kind of got to use a lot of it, but I think it makes a big difference.
All right, fair enough.
How's
But by that estimation, this passes your test.
Oh yeah, and so it's got everything else that's crucial, which is the yellow mustard, sliced tomatoes, sport peppers, poppy seed bun, onions, and then you're good to go.
Nice.
And don't put ketchup on it, guys, when you order these.
So you're not a ketchup man?
No. I'm okay with it, but a Chicago dog doesn't need ketchup. There's already so much in it.
There's a lot.
Pickle slice. Did I mention pickle slice? That's the other big one.
Mm. Yeah, that is there's enough going on there. I don't think you need to really dress it up too much.
No.
I went, the first off, appetizers. I was looking at their appetizer list, and a place like this, there's always an extensive sides and appetizer list. I think partly because you're getting a lot of people that just come in, they just want to, you know, share something, or, you know, pretty low impact food, I guess. Not colonically in this case, but, you know.
Well, you did show some restraint. You didn't get a dip.
I did not get the dip, no. But as an appetizer, I went with the what they call the ravioli dippers, which are basically cheese ravioli, deep fried, and then you get a little cup of dipping sauce with it, a little marinara sauce. It is exactly what I expected. It is fine. I mean, it's not outstanding, but what do you expect for something called ravioli dippers?
Yeah, they look intense, man.
It's a grease and cheese vehicle, is really what it is. And with that, they definitely succeed, I think.
Well, then for my side, I got their fries, which, again, that's the beauty of the Chicago-style places. There's nothing fancy, but it's done right. And it's French fries just coated in Lowry's seasoning salt. That's all you need.
Mm. And then for the main dish, I got their Italian beef, which you recommended.
Yep.
And I can see why. I went with the mozzarella on top of it. And I wasn't prepared for exactly how much mozzarella there was going to be on it. It was sizable. And then I went with the sweet peppers because I'm a wuss. But they're very good. This is a prodigious sandwich.
And both of our meals in common have the fact that they're just barely contained by the buns. They're both overflowing with the stuffing.
The buns are almost a formality.
Right.
You know?
It's kind of, yeah.
It's just...
Well, then if you get a dip, it's even a bigger mess.
Oh, God, yeah. The dip would destroy it. Be held together with faith alone, I think. Mm-hmm. So, as we mentioned at the beginning of the show, you live very close to Northbound.
Yes, I do.
And that whole area, I mean, we talked a little bit about that last week, but that whole area has become this huge foodie kind of, like, all these new places are coming up.
Yeah, this area right now is kind of going nuts.
Yeah, this is kind of in the same area, too.
Yeah, I mean, we're only a couple blocks away from one of my other favorite places, Buster's, just down the street on 28th and 42nd. And I would be lying if I didn't say that when I was looking for a house, like, that block with Buster's, The Baker's Wife, and Angry Catfish was, like, highly influential in me kind of looking in this area, because I would say Baker's Wife is hands down, like, the best baked goods and dirt cheap. Buster's has a crazy beer list and great food, and then Angry Catfish is a bike shop that has, for my money, the best coffee in town. So... plus, yeah, then you got Northbound up the street. Then you have Blue Door opening up in November. It's not like more of just an appetizer place, but right by the Riverview Theater is the Riverview Wine Bar, which actually has a really awesome flatbread and like sort of appetizer, light snack meal, plus a pretty good beer list and wine list too. So, yeah, this area is pretty awesome.
And I know you, in terms of how you like to approach things, especially your wife. not how you approach your wife, but I know how your wife likes to approach things too. What do you think in this particular area was the... Which came first? This is the chicken or egg thing. Was it this kind of influx of young people coming in? And then the restaurants and the shops kind of come there? Or do you think the shops are here first and that's bringing in a different crowd into this area? Because this is kind of the hot area.
Yeah.
Right, or it's becoming that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm one of the new jacks here, so I can't speak too much historically. But, I mean, the area's always been pretty solid in terms of just, like, home values and stuff. And mm-hmm. I think with the influx of people moving in from the suburbs... And then the fact of a lot of young people buying houses, I think. I mean, right now the houses, I mean, it's changed. But about 6 months to a year ago, I mean, with the interest rates, there's a lot of inventory down here. So there's a lot of people who moved in this area. I mean, I know 4 people who moved in this area within the last year. So, I think it's you know, it's like one of those things where it's like the one little point of germination and then everything starts going nuts. Mm-hmm. But I mean, like I said, I'm one of the people jumping on it down here. I mean, between here and Northeast, I would say are like the two best areas for stuff like this.
And you actually used to live in Northeast.
I did, yes. So. Right by Senyai Senlek, actually.
Yeah, you've gone from hipster to hipster.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, yeah, it's good. And yeah, I don't know. But I'm very excited and nervous for Blue Door to be opening up, because that is going to be extraordinary. It's like two blocks from my house.
Oh, man. I would be so fat.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not svelte by any stretch, but if there was a good juicy loosey place within walking distance, would just be ridiculous. Well, oh my god.
Well, funny you should mention that, because Sunday night, I was home alone. My wife was out visiting her parents. I was not really feeling like cooking dinner, and I found $20 in my pocket, and I decided, you know what, I'm gonna go get a couple juicy looseys and some fries over at Matt's Bar, which is also in this area.
Mm-hmm.
Not super close, but close enough.
Yep.
And boy, oh boy. First off, I've never gotten takeout from Matt's, I've only eaten in. Funny fact is, if you order French fries, they just give them to you in a paper bag. There's nothing about it. They just double bag it, and they throw the fries in the bag and a little bit of wax paper, and that's it. But I do.
Classy joint.
Oh, yeah. Well, no plates, no ice. That's their deal. But the other thing I learned is, one juicy Lucy from Matt's really isn't quite enough. But two is far too much. Far too much. It's like, if you could get like one and a quarter, I was regretful of my choice. But
no, this is a topic that we've brought up many times on the show, because my erstwhile co-host is a Matt's guy.
Mm-hmm.
I tend to be more of a 5-2-8 guy. It is, if you're sticking strictly to the Matt's versus 5-2-8. If you extend it to everything, I'm much more of a Blue Door guy, or even a Nook.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a place like that. But I'm very kind of meh on the Matt's. And I think part of it was because of the serving size. And I think what you're saying is kind of feeds into that. But where do you fit on the Matt's versus 5-2-8 debate, the grand debate?
You know, honestly, I haven't had 5-2-8 since that was the first Juicy Lucy I ever had, actually, was at the 5-2-8 Club. My aunt took me there when I was like a kid. But I honestly haven't been back, because, if you know what, without having to like look at a map, or what am I doing looking at a map? Put into Google Maps, I guess. I couldn't tell you how to get there. It's in a weird spot, so I never find myself there. It's in this like little loop of highway that I can't see the direct entrance to, so I just go to Matt's. I mean, I don't know. That's a choice that either way you win, you know.
It's very democratic of you.
Well, yes.
Or diplomatic, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know if democratic is the right
yeah,
term,
exactly.
Especially when you're talking about burgers.
But yeah, I mean, I don't know. Any burger filled cheese is pretty good in my mind.
That's true. Now, were you the one amongst my friends that was discussing the possibility of a vegetarian Juicy Lucy?
No, someone else I know was asking about that recently. I mean, it seems fine. I don't mind veggie burgers, and Lord knows they could use some cheese to spice them up and make them not so dry. So I'd be fully supportive of this.
To me, that's a philosophical problem.
Yeah.
To me, the Juicy Lucy is about excess, and you can't be an excessive vegetarian.
I have some vegetarian friends who've recently started complaining about their guts, who would disagree.
But that's different, you know?
Well, man, you can eat nothing but cheese curds. You could really go to town and eat terribly as a vegetarian, really excessively. Nothing but cheese and...
I suppose.
I guess that's about it, cheese.
Cheese and, yeah.
Go nuts on the tempi, or whatever, tempa.
Oh, God. Oh, no thank you. I guess the cheese is the kind of, and I guess breads. And I mean, there's a lot of carbs.
There you go. You could eat a lot of grilled cheese. That's kind of the Juicy Lucy of the vegetarian world.
Kind of, it needs.
Or more like the double down of the vegetarian world.
Yeah, there you go. I like that. The double down of the vegetarian world. I guess I always conflate vegetarians and vegans a little bit. Because you can't be an excessive vegan. Like, that just, it's impossible.
It's only excessive when you're telling people about how you're a vegan.
That is true.
But other than that, yes.
Other than that. No, but I guess I had never, for some reason I thought that vegetarians don't eat cheese for some reason. I don't know why.
Yeah,
maybe it's just my general distrust of vegetarians that it caused me to create this almost like World War II propaganda poster style, like
that fear of
caricature
other.
Of them. Yeah, exactly. That's what we need. That's, you know what? I know there's a couple artists that listen to the show. We need to come up with like propaganda posters, you know, anti-vegetarian.
I've got nothing against them. I just think it'd be funny. Oh, yeah. Well, hey, I agree. I've got nothing against them, too. Honestly, I wish I could do it. I've tried, and it just hasn't taken.
Here's when vegetarianism can become mainstream. Is when you can get a vegetarian meal, a completely vegetarian meal, like full meal, not just like appetizers and crap like that. A full meal in a drive-thru. Which I can't think of a place where you can get.
Didn't Burger King for a while and McDonald's have veggie burgers? I feel like I remember them having one at Burger King for sure. And I remember there was like the asterisk that said like veggie burger, and then like asterisk was like not guaranteed to be vegetarian.
Just in case a pig falls into the grinder or something.
Yeah, or like a worker's thumb or something. Yeah.
Excuse me.
They're probably just being cooked on those flame broilers that they use there.
Oh yeah. You know, I've said this many times. You know, I'm a big Burger King fan. But the only way any Burger King food is going to touch fire is if you burn that restaurant down.
Yeah.
So yeah, I've never. But you know, I think Burger King would have the way to go, or maybe even Arby's or something non-McDonald's, because. You know, you see these places now where they're specializing in, like, not foodie ingredients, but they're trying to broaden the base a little
bit. They're trying to catch that lucrative, like, Chipotle smash burger demographic,
yeah.
Like, a little faster than restaurant food, but still, like, fast, but mm-hmm. not, like, garbage food as much.
Exactly. So I think they could do that. But, you know, what would be interesting is if McDonald's decided to do that. Because, like, I was reading an article about McDonald's, and they were interviewing their executive chef, for their corporate chef, the guy that comes up with all their beans.
Ronald.
Yes, Ronald. Yes, goes by Ronald. And they were talking about how this guy is, like, the most powerful food-related person in America. Because they talked about when they started doing salads at McDonald's. And they were when they started doing apple slices as an alternative to French fries for Happy Meals. That plus the salads, McDonald's instantly became the world's largest buyer of apples.
Whoa.
Okay, just from that one change. So it's like this guy, just with a, almost like with a whim, he can destroy or create whole industries.
Wow.
You know, and it would be interesting if somebody with that kind of power decided, we're going to do something on a vegetarian level.
Yeah.
Like, you could do some really weird, you could really kind of shake shit up if you want to.
Wow, that's crazy. Yeah, I had no idea about that. Well, and then you've got now Arby's is trying to, like, taking shots across the bow of Subway to show that they have fresh food, and they're making, like,
oh my God,
claims
that we
slice our meat fresh and Subway doesn't. And my biggest fear is that we're nearing closer and closer to the fast food wars.
Oh, very yes. good.
I can take these empty
that'd be great.
I'll let the fries hang in.
Thanks.
Thank you.
I was saying we're getting dangerously close to the fast food wars predicted in Demolition Man if this keeps up.
That's right. Did they ever put a year in Demolition Man? I haven't watched it.
I don't remember.
I know it's back on Netflix, so maybe I have to rewatch it.
That's worth it.
That's another movie I watch every couple years. Just
soon
because
we'll have
it's
nothing but Taco Bell.
Nothing
left.
But Taco Bell. Well, now they're doing the Argentinian woman at the Taco Bell.
What's that?
Like that taco. Oh crap! The cantina menu.
Hmm.
They're like, again, like a lot of fast food places, they're trying to up the ante with, like, here's quality ingredients. You know, here is not grade F beef. We're going to do, like, real avocados and weird shit like that. So they got this I think she's Argentinian, like, TV chef to, like, plan their menu for them. And she's also, like, the face of the thing. So,
interesting.
Who knows, man? That's...
I still feel like if I ever find myself at a fast food joint, it's usually a meal of desperation. I'm not looking to up the ante. I know exactly what I'm getting. I'm not like, oh, I wonder what they have fresh cut at McDonald's today. It's like, no, listen, I'm hungry or I'm drunk. I need a cheeseburger. Let's take care of this.
Yeah. Wow. So we've finished up. We finished up the food. That's the nice thing about this kind of food is you can whip through it fairly quickly.
Yeah. Maybe we should have picked a longer place.
Maybe. I don't know. Well, the service is fast. And again, you don't, you know, like you were just saying, you don't come here for highfalutin meals.
No.
You come here to get fed, you know, greasy, but still very, very good food.
Yeah. And like I said, the Chicago dog's solid, but the Italian beef, getting it dipped with hot peppers, that's the way I do it. That's a mess, man. But, oh, it's so good. So good. Highly recommended if you like the spicier things. Get the hot peppers.
Now, what all have you had here before?
Mostly I just get the dog or the sandwich. But I've had the pizza, which isn't terrible. It's, like, it's fine. Mm-hmm. I mean, now I sound like my parents or my in-laws. It's fine pizza. That's,
Now, do they do the deep dish here, or is it just regular pizza?
No, just regular pizza. I think they do the deep dish here. I just got regular pizza because I'm not a huge fan of Chicago-style pizza.
Really?
It's fine. I mean, it's fine. Pizza's pizza. Pizza's great. The only thing, you know, some pizza's better than no pizza in my book, so fine.
That's what I like. That's why we like you on the show, is you're a man of high standards.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, very exacting.
Pizza's like sex. Bad pizza is better than no pizza. So there you go.
Yeah, I was just...
Evan went to a dark place.
I did kind of, and I don't know if I'm ready to share my thoughts on that one. So, how was your food? How was the dog, man?
Excellent. Again, solid. It hit all the notes. I love those peppers. They're good. It's great. Like I said, I would eat here all the time. I mean, I do eat here all the time. So... it's good. Prices are reasonable, and you leave full. That's all you can ask for.
Yeah, I mean, for the two of us, you know, we each had a drink and an entree, and then with the ravioli dippers, which were, I think, the most expensive on the appetizer list. It was $20.
Yeah.
So I mean, that's very doable for pretty much anyone. I would say.
I mean, it's a good place too. Like. I mean, it's takeout, too. It's one of those other places that I like where it's a good sort of, I'm on the way home from work, I don't feel like cooking, but I know we got to eat dinner. It's a great, like, you don't lose any quality taking it home. It's not like one of those places where, you know, sometimes you get some food, you got to eat it at the restaurant or it's not really the same, and this is, it's fine, it's great, it holds up great, and good eat at the privacy of your home or out here on this lovely patio.
Now, I hate... for you to feel like I'm interrogating you, but you know, you're as a newcomer to the show.
Yes,
the listeners do not have the background of how you approach food and things like that. So a lot of the questions will be lobbed at you here. Just
all right,
to
that's fine.
Feel, you know,
give me your worst.
All right, do you cook a lot at home?
I've started, and so I started a lot more last winter, mostly when I was unemployed, and I figured since my wife was making money and I wasn't, the least I could do is cook some food. So when she came home, she'd be have something to eat. I'm just getting to the point where I'm not making fancy recipes. I mean, I can follow a recipe. I'm not coming up with anything on my own. Mm-hmm. And I'm kind of to the point where I don't feel totally panicked. I should preface all this to say that I was raised by an Italian mother. And I never learned to make scrambled eggs until I was 19 and had moved out of the dorms and got my own apartment. So I'm a late bloomer.
So what you're saying is your mother failed your upbringing is what I'm hearing.
I would say she did an excellent job, and it's too bad no women of this modern age will do that anymore.
Okay, so now you're slagging on your wife now is what I'm hearing.
No, just women in general.
Just women. Oh, well, you know, as long as you're not specific, it's okay.
I'm kidding, of course, gentle listener.
gentle listener.
Go, ladies.
Okay, so what are your dishes? Like everybody needs like one or two dishes that they can just
that you can just nail?
I don't know if I have those yet. There's like a this chicken I make that's got like a. It was a recipe I made for Valentine's Day a couple years ago, and I learned how to do that. That has like shallots and like vermouth reduction, and it's pretty good. Wow. Actually, really good.
For someone that didn't know how to do scrambled eggs, reductions that can be a little tricky.
It's pretty good, but again, I couldn't do it without the menu or the recipe. For me. And you know, I mean, I think I felt more comfortable doing that because I started homebrewing too, so that's a lot of following recipes. So now I'm getting like comfortable with that. So I'm not
okay.
I would love to say that I am, you know, more of a cook or a chef or something, but I really enjoy eating. I hate cleaning up. I'll do it because I do enjoy it. I can throw on some music or something and cook, or like a podcast or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I don't do it as much as I should. But now that it's getting colder out and my drive to be outside constantly, I find myself cooking more. Like I cooked last night, like a cream sauce pasta with like squash and bacon.
What the hell, man? I don't think you give yourself enough credit here.
No, what happens is my wife, I say to my wife, like, okay, pick out some recipes, give me a list, I'll go buy the food, and then I'll follow the recipe that you find for me.
But, okay.
So, like, I let her do all the planning, and then I'm, like, the manual labor.
You know what, though? That's, don't begrudge that. that's an important step.
Sure.
So, now is the chance to slag on your wife. How is Meg at the cooking?
Oh, man, she's awesome. I mean, she's a former professional pastry chef.
Oh, really? So, I didn't know that.
Yeah. She used to work for, like, Macy's Catering was one of their head people there. She worked at, what's the place downtown? It's like an Italian place, kind of on Nicollet. She worked there.
Italian place on Nicollet?
I think so.
Like downtown?
Yeah, downtown Minneapolis.
Oh, I feel like I should know. Is it still around?
Maybe. I don't know. But she's done, I mean, she's worked for...
D'Amico, is it?
No. She's worked for, like, Isles Bakery over the Cinnamon Bun place.
So, I know your wife.
Yes.
Is she, like, 60? Because that's the only way she could have as many of the jobs as she has had.
Yeah, no, I mean, she and I are both habitual job hoppers. But she actually kind of quit because she had a wheat allergy that wouldn't let her continue.
I can see why that'd be a problem with the baker.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, no, she's great. She's great at cooking. So that's why I also like to put it off and let her do it because she's better than me.
But you know what, though? I was the same thing where my wife, very good cook, excellent baker.
Yeah.
You know, so very similar situation to you. And I found that my game has been upped because I feel like I need to pull my weight.
Sure.
So.
See, I mean, I feel like the traditional, like, you know, whenever it's in the summer, actually, you know, I guess I do cook more than I think about it, because in the summer we grill out constantly, and I always do that, but that's barely cooking. You're just throwing meat on a, throw some seasoning and then throw some meat on a.
My co-host would disagree with you.
Well, I mean, for
vehemently.
There's an art to it that I don't have. My approach is not artsy. My approach is, here's some seasoning, let's throw it on. A lot of people actually do a lot more effort, so not to disrespect the people who really do actually put an art to it.
Now, about the homebrewing, how's that been going?
Good. That's the same thing, though. I'm following recipes. I, you know, I don't feel... I've been doing it now for probably 2 years or more.
Oh, really? And yet I've never had any of your stuff.
It's because I drink it too fast. Actually, it's because I don't do it that often. I'm... You know, it's a lot of time and effort that I don't have a ton of, although I'm getting more. That's the same deal where I'm just content to follow a recipe. I haven't felt that drive to, like, I'm going to start inventing my own. It's like, it's an excuse to have some friends over. We brew the beer, we drink beer, and then we make the beer to drink for the next time around. And it's more just, like, a reason to hang out and do stuff, so.
It's the male fondue party.
Yeah, exactly. And now
that's a genius idea. I'm going to copyright that. That's something to that.
Yeah, no.
Can you? Okay, and this is, I'm a complete homebrew.
Sure.
Idiot. Is that something you can do in an evening?
Oh yeah, I mean, for sure. It depends. Like, so if you're doing like an extract kit, where everything's already sort of cooked down to the bare essentials, which is like your basic kit that you'd buy in a homebrew store, which is in a like 12-inch by 12-inch by 6-inch box. Mm-hmm. Everything you need's in there. That'll take you a couple hours to do the whole deal. And then it's got to sit for a while. But then there's, you know, different levels where you can start with all grain. That's the other end of it, where you start with the grains and you cook everything down, and that can take like a full, that's like, you know, a Saturday. You're gonna start in a pretty good chunk of the day. It's gonna get eaten by it, but I haven't gotten to that level, mostly because I don't have a lot of 8 hours
a whole Saturday
to crunch. Yeah.
What have you made so far?
I just finished a milk chocolate stout that turned out pretty well. My favorite thing I made was a black IPA that was recommended to me by a friend who works at one of the brew stores.
There's got to be a joke there with black IPA. I don't know. There's a Fergie joke in there somewhere. I just can't figure it out what it is.
But yeah, it's good. I mean, that's a beer too that I've been noticing has been kind of getting more popular. I've been seeing it in the stores a lot more.
Like the black ales and things like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, but like the black IPA specifically.
Really?
That's the other thing is...
No, I've never had a black IPA. Is that... Like, how does that compare to, like, a standard IPA?
Like, a little... I mean, well, it's darker, for one.
Shocking.
But it's just a little different taste and body to it. A little heavier, I'd say. But, yeah, that's the other thing. Is like, that has been popular. And then the other beers that I've been really liking are the ones that are, like, the drinkable but hoppy pale ales that are, like... have the hops of an IPA but not the alcohol, because
oh okay,
it's nice to not, you know, have to deal with the 7 or 8% alcohol of, like, one of my favorite beers, Bell's Two Hearted Ale, is awesome, but like having 3 on a weeknight and I'm like I might have I'll fall, either pass out early, or, you know, because I'm old, or have a little bit of a headache in the morning. I just don't need to get drunk when I'm watching TV every night or whatever. So like something that has that hop bite without the alcohol that's been really popular lately is great.
Nice.
So I'm going to try to start making more stuff like that, because that's what I've been liking to drink lately.
Cool.
Otherwise, I made one beer, Dunkelweiss, which I thought was a bad batch, but it turned out I just didn't like that style of beer.
That's always the tricky thing.
Yeah.
Where, you know, when especially, you know, when you're just becoming kind of a beer geek.
Yeah.
And you don't know if this is just a bad example of what it is, or if you just don't like the style. Like, I was kind of that way with IPAs for a long time.
Yeah.
Because I'm not a hoppy guy at all. And so I thought it was just like, is there something wrong with this beer? It's like, no, that's just the style.
Well, and that's funny too, because I remember when I first started my drinking days, the first time trying a Summit and being like, oh my God, this is so bitter and awful. And now, like, in my to my palate, that's like a very drinkable, lighter, you know, hoppy flavor versus like what I usually drink. So it's just funny how that changes.
Excuse me. Well, I think we would both give this place a pretty rousing
thumbs up. Absolutely.
I was a big fan of my sandwich. It was heavy. I was surprised that the bun held together.
Oh yeah.
Oh, but I see what you're saying. If you've got that dip, it's just get a fork.
But that's part of the fun too. You come out with a shiny face because it's
see,
all
I don't
greasy.
Like, I don't like crap on my face.
Well,
especially now that I've got the side flavor savers. But
yeah.
You know, it's I've just never liked. Like, that's why I don't do, like, wings.
Sure.
That's one of the reasons why I don't do wings, is I don't like, you know, shit on my fingers and on my face. I just can't do it. Then there's the whole bones thing, which we've talked about many times on the show before, and I won't reiterate, otherwise I'll lose yet another friend. That sandwich was good. There's one of the few times I'm ever going to say this, I could have used a little less cheese.
Wow.
It seemed like it was a little much. And to me, what really kind of screwed up that sandwich, if I had to make any sort of complaints, the peppers. Peppers were great, but it was like whole, like half peppers.
Yeah.
I mean, like they just took a pepper and cut it in half and threw it on there.
Well, see, your problem was, is again, you got the sweet peppers. And as far as I'm concerned, if a pepper's not going to be spicy, you're just wasting everybody's time.
But my point is I would have much preferred that sweet pepper where it was, like, chopped up.
Oh, sure, sure.
Or something. I mean, it was structurally tricky. That's
yeah,
my point.
Sure. Flavor, excellent.
Flavor
structure.
Flavor was fine. It was more...
Fail.
I don't... People that listen to the show know this, but I'm a very... I don't want to say a picky eater, because you can't look at my diet and assume I'm a picky eater. But I'm very futzy. You know, I how things are built means a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, it was awkward. It was an awkward kind of sandwich. If they had like done that up like a relish or something like that, it would have been in my Flint.
Well, then I could definitely see why you wouldn't like the chicken wings sort of stuff. That jives with that. If it's
yeah, it's just kind of the same thing. It's you know, there's a lot about chicken wings I dislike.
Pink
so.
Slime or go to hell forever.
That's right. I prefer a meat flavored slurry. You know, I'm ready for food pills, man.
Oh, man.
Looking forward to it. Just no fuss, no muss. That's why. I think that's a Minnesota thing.
What's that?
Just the I don't want to say lack of texture, but just the simplicity. Like, I'm thinking of things like hot dishes and things like that.
Yeah.
Like things that mix well together.
Yeah, just like a one uniform glop.
Yes.
That, you know, no surprises.
It's not even no surprises. It's just, yeah, I don't, like, I don't know what it is. Now, you were raised in Minnesota. Right?
Yes.
You're not a transplant. Okay. Not like that damn foreigner of a wife of yours.
No, but I feel very often like one because I feel like I have very different, like, I grew up eating lots of spicy food, which I think is mm-hmm. not super common. That's because my family is like literally from Italy, mm-hmm. so I'm like a, you know, my mom is a transplant from Italy, so
mm-hmm. Oh, is she? She's native born.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep.
I'm learning all sorts of stuff about your family.
I know
about your family today.
I'm like an onion, man.
Yeah.
More layers you peel. But yeah, so I am a Minnesotan born and raised, but in terms of like food stuff, I've always felt like I always remember, again, speaking of Asian restaurants on U of M campus, going to like the Village Walk and being like, I want it spicy. Mm-hmm. And just like, oh yeah, yeah, we'll make it spicy. It's like, no, never spicy enough. Like, never spicy enough. And like, I'm the guy who goes to like a Thai restaurant and I'm like, oh, I want a 5 out of 5 spicy. I'm like, are you, that's really hot? It's like, yeah, yeah, I know. That's what I want. Like, are you sure? I was like, yes, just give me the damn spice.
You need to get like a waiting period or something
like
that.
Yeah, exactly. Or just a card. This guy likes really spicy
it's
stuff.
It's okay. That's actually not a bad idea too. We're coming up with all sorts of marketable ideas.
We're going to be very rich.
I'm sure we will.
Or at least have a really well-visited Etsy site that people don't buy anything.
Hey,
on.
That's fine too. So again, Chris and Rob's is yep. the name of the place. There's 3 locations. There's one here in Minneapolis. What the hell is this neighborhood called? I can never remember.
I think it's Greater Longfellow.
Longfellow?
But I don't know. I don't think so because we're right on the other side of the Hiawatha. So I think it might be Standish, maybe? Hiawatha neighborhood?
I can never keep track of the
You know what? It's off 42nd Street in Hiawatha. On 42nd Street, just off Hiawatha. You mm-hmm. can't miss it. And so, yeah.
It's
Nokomis. Oh, thank you.
There you go. Thank you, random person. That's all right. Yeah, there's one here. There's one in St. Paul.
And then one in Parts Unknown.
Somewhere out there.
Yeah.
But yeah, check it out. I guess I can't think of anything else. It'll be a slightly shorter show, but that's what happens when you do quick food.
Yeah.
So, as always, we're brought to you in part by HopChart.com for all of your beer cataloging needs. It's commercial bought beer, so your homebrews don't count.
Hey, just because I brew it doesn't mean I don't drink the regular stuff.
As always, we want you to follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/wellfedguidetolife, facebook.com/wellfedguidetolife. I said the Twitter wrong again. It's twitter.com/wellfedguidefpg, and Foursquare at foursquare.com/wellfedguidetolife. Adam, thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me. I always like doing it. I've got to get my chops back. I've been rusty.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we got to get you back in the saddle.
Yeah,
With this podcasting thing. Next couple weeks, we're going to have some food bloggers on. We're still heading up. We're kind of sizing up. That's what I'm looking for here. Firming up. That's the word I'm looking for. We're still firming up a lot of the details, so we don't know exactly who's going to be on which week, but we're looking forward to that. And then at the end of October, we're going to have Dave will be back, and he'll talk all about his now restraining order against from Tyler Florence, and probably Andrew Zimmern as well. He's a little excited for this trip, so I'm a little worried about him. So hopefully he comes back with as nearly spotless a record legally as he has currently. But thank you guys very much for listening. Thank you for supporting us. Quick shout out to our new intern, Cody, who's going to be helping us out with a lot of stuff. I'm really looking forward to that. If, like her, you've ever wanted to help out with one of these shows, be it this show or any of the other shows on the network, please let us know. You can just email me at evan@fancypantsgangsters.com, and we'll definitely find something for you to do. So thank you guys once again for listening, and we'll see you next week.